Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Rex Nelson, senior editor of the Democrat Gazette. Thank you for joining us again, and thanks to Wayne Miller from, boy, he had about a half block walk. He came a long way to get here to where we're taping this in downtown Little Rock. Wayne's executive director of the Venture Center, but I do appreciate you venturing over, Wayne, for a visit today.
Well, thanks, Rex. Always humbled to be with you, and what a pleasure. What a great opportunity to chat with you today. And it was a pretty long walk, but I managed even in a windy day.
So. Yeah, absolutely. As you know, and I have written this, and you don't have to convince me, I'm already a true believer, but in this knowledge-based economy of the 21st century, I am really convinced that what you do at the Venture Center is really critical to the economic future of not only Little Rock, but all of Central Arkansas as we move forward. But I know a lot of our listeners that are in on the podcast are not familiar at all. So I'm going to let you do a little Venture Center 101, if you will, and basically tell us who you are and what you do.
Good deal. Well, thanks. Pleasure to do that. So my name is Wayne Miller. I identify as a serial entrepreneur. I've started about 12 companies, had a chance to take one public, work for some big companies as well, and, you know, found myself kind of at the stage of my life where really trying to pay it forward and give back from not only the successes that I've enjoyed, but more importantly, and I think sometimes the failures and the lessons that came from that. As you know, I landed here in Arkansas almost 5 years ago exactly, came here to run what at the time was the FIS FinTech Accelerator Program. And I taught entrepreneurship for a couple of years at the University of Maryland as an adjunct. As I mentioned, started a lot of companies and so forth, and came here to help support the efforts of the Venture Center, which is what we refer to as an entrepreneurial service organization, mm-hmm. or an ESO. Our mission is about really what we refer to as sort of these three pillars of education, collaboration, and acceleration. And let me kind of speak to each of those. We are chartered as a 501c3, as a nonprofit, to educate people and to provide the content, the connections, and in some instances, access to the capital that's necessary for them to start businesses, but also giving them the resources that are required to do that. You know, starting a business, being an entrepreneur, it's not for everyone, as they say. And, you know, the question is, when do I quit my day job? How do I know that I have a business that's viable? What are the methods that we go through to accomplish that and determine some of those things? And, you know, I'm old enough to remember when we used to write a 70-page business plan and hand it to a banker, and, you know, you didn't get funded. And of course, you know, they didn't read it anyway, right? And it still depended on your credit and so forth. And today we use methods like Lean Canvas and so forth to accomplish those things. So much of our effort at the Venture Center is around giving people a place to start. I always tease the mayor that one morning I'm going to get up early and I'm going to paint a big red X in the middle of Main Street so that people know where to begin in this state when they want to start a business.
Right.
So that's kind of the education piece. And we provide a lot of programming around that, a lot of community events, et cetera. We bring in subject matter experts. We bring in entrepreneurs who have been successful. We have some extraordinary entrepreneurs in our state and obviously in our community here in Central Arkansas who have built great businesses, Charles Morgan, for example, and others who have taken time to speak with us and share their knowledge and their wisdom. When we look at the second pillar, which is really about collaboration, that's about how do we work effectively to help not only businesses within our community, large and small, be more effective in innovating, but how are we also working with our university? How are we working with the technical schools and those sort of places where we can begin to fill that funnel with young folks, college age folks, folks who are still in school, et cetera, who want to start businesses? And how do we help big companies that frankly are not very good at innovating? We tend to get technology and innovation confused. That's an issue at some point. And innovation really starts with building the right culture. And that is critically important that starts at the top of the organization with the leadership. So we've been very effective there in working with UALR, the University of Arkansas, Pulaski Tech, and again, some of the banks in our area, et cetera, and some of the other large businesses. So we're excited to keep that effort going. And then lastly is the acceleration piece. And, you know, as I mentioned, I came here 5 years ago to lead the FIS FinTech Accelerator. And these accelerators are focused through a boot camp process, which is anywhere from 16 weeks or fewer. We've changed that from 12 weeks to 16 weeks because of COVID, doing a lot more of this hybrid and virtually, which has had positive and negative impacts, as I think everything around COVID has. But we are trying to help FIS, which of course, you know, was founded here in Little Rock as,
right.
as Systematics in 1968. So we have,
right.
we have that storied history to lean on, and Walter Smiley, in fact, the building where the Venture Center sits is where the first check was handed to him to start Systematics.
Fascinating full circle there. Yeah,
absolutely. And it's sort of cool, I think. And we love our space in the tech park and so forth, but we try to help FIS innovate effectively by looking at new technologies, helping them think forward, helping them to support new technologies as they fill gaps in their roadmap to providing services that are necessary for banks today. So our technology is bank enabling. About 4 years ago, we also stepped out with the ICBA, which is the Independent Community Bankers of America. And, you know, community banking, particularly in this last couple of years, I mean, so critical to our country.
Absolutely.
Most people don't recognize or know that 80% of agricultural loans come from community banks, critical to Arkansas, obviously, 50% of small business loans. And most of these folks who are in community banks, they're operating small businesses. They mm-hmm. just happen to be banks,
mm-hmm.
but they care about their communities. They support their communities. They're multi-generational in most instances. So we have the second accelerator that focuses on community banking, helping to keep them relevant and competitive as the big banks, neobanks, and technology impacts them and so forth. Just selected our fourth cohort for our fourth year with them, which will kick off in January. And those programs have been globally recognized as well as nationally recognized. We're very proud of the work that we've done there. And we've brought a lot of folks, hundreds of bankers to Little Rock who have been great ambassadors for our state. And of course, I think you know this, but for the audience as well, the state is an active supporter of this. They help to fund our programming through grants along with our partners, both the ICBA and FIS.
You mentioned, and it didn't seem that long because I remember meeting you early on, but you mentioned it's been almost 5 years now. What was the draw? I mean, you've had, as you said, a varied career, a successful career. I think those of us who are Arkansans, sometimes we do carry that Arkansas inferiority complex. And why would somebody on the East Coast or the West Coast come to Little Rock, Arkansas? What was the draw that brought you here?
Great question. You know, I had left private equity. I'd been in private equity for about 3.5 years, and part of my background is medical and medical device. And we completed a project there. I'd brought four companies together, et cetera, and I was the operating partner for the private equity firm. And I was trying to figure out kind of what to do next mm-hmm. after I concluded my work there. And I was approached to operate an accelerator in actually Miami, funny enough, which was medical device oriented. And, you know, I looked at what this organization was doing and how they were supporting entrepreneurs through this accelerator program. And I just didn't like what I saw. It was kind of a dog and pony show for investors where
gotcha.
They could kind of hold up these shiny objects and decide whether or not. So it was more of a lottery approach. And I really didn't see how they were really helping entrepreneurs to effectively grow their businesses, et cetera. You know, I'm a big believer that if nobody buys what you're selling, you don't have a business. And mm-hmm. I say that a lot, but there's a lot of truth to that.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's a question of how do you build it and scale it and so forth. So that began the path for me to look at what other accelerators existed around the country and so forth. And through the course of that, I tripped across Lee Watson and James Hendren, who were here, who had founded, along with Jay Cheshire, the Venture Center, that they were seeking someone to fill that role. So we had a couple of conversations. We courted each other a bit. And I said, look, I'm going to get in an airplane and come down there. I've never stepped foot in Arkansas.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, one of the greatest assets, if not the greatest assets of this state, are its people and its access and its capacity to get things done. So I came down here. I spent about 5 days. I fell in love with the place, but more importantly, the people. And, you know, they're not shy around here, as you know, Rex, and they kind of put the fool Nelson, if you will.
They're not shy. Exactly.
And I met the mayor. I met the governor. You know, it was really remarkable. And it was like, this is a great place. And I think I can really be impactful here. I had never operated accelerators before. I honestly did not really know exactly what I was doing. But I knew, having walked in the moccasins of entrepreneurs, what they needed and what needed to be done. I understood the focus of this particular program in terms of helping to support FIS and what they were trying to do. And I'm not sure we really knew where we were going with this mm-hmm. accelerator at that point. So the draw was the people, the opportunity, the chance to make a difference. I thought I'd be here for a couple of years. Now I don't know when I'm leaving 5 years later.
Yeah.
And love it here. And, you know, I've gotten to know folks like you and so many others, and I fall in love with the state and the work we've been able to do. And I'm blessed. I have an awesome team. I've got great clients. We've got a wonderful environment here. We've got great access. We've got amazing support. You know, really, what more could I ask for? I've got all the right ingredients to be successful here.
You know, Bloomberg just did had a column that it ran, and the headline obviously attracted my attention immediately. And then I shared it over to all my social media outlets. And the headline was, "The next Austin ? Try Arkansas. Seriously," was the headline. There are some things going on, Central Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas, obviously, that could really change the trajectory. And I think you're a part of that, the trajectory of what traditionally has been a small, rural, agriculturally dominated state. Do you agree with that? I mean, when I start seeing headlines like that in Bloomberg.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's great news. That means that, you know, as a state, as a group of entrepreneurial service organizations that we have throughout the state, our universities, that we're doing the right work. You know, I think when I got to Arkansas 5 years ago, I felt Arkansas was what we refer to as a flyover state. Mm-hmm. I don't think investors were, you know, again, the majority of the money, as we know, is invested in early stage companies on the coast, both obviously the East and mostly the West Coast. And, you know, one of the things about when you look at a place like Arkansas is, first and foremost, is do you have the resources, the people, and particularly to support these types of ideas? Arkansas has a storied history of entrepreneurs. Again, we've talked about Walter Smiley. Gosh, you know, let's talk about Walmart. Let's talk about J.B. Hunt.
Tyson. Sam Walton, the Murphy family in South Arkansas with oil and gas, homegrown. Bill Dillard, who founded one of the largest department store chains in America. I could go on and on. It really is fascinating for a state this small.
It is. And, you know, I think you said it earlier, Pete, you know, I don't understand. And I think, you know, I've learned from you that some of our greatest challenges in Arkansas are sort of self-inflicted.
Absolutely.
And to that end, you know, I think we're trying to change that. But I also think, too, is that, you know, we look at the accelerators and it's a good example of that. I always felt that if we built a program that demonstrated how we get people to market faster and better and truly accelerate their growth and their trajectory, that the money would follow. And that is exactly what has occurred. And I think as we continue to build great businesses and demonstrate we can build great businesses, we're getting the attention of the investment community. We're getting the attention of people like Bloomberg and so forth. I also think, too, that we've been particularly impacted by, again, the events of this last year and a half through mm-hmm. COVID and so forth, and people being able to work from anywhere. The challenges that come with that are people, for example. You know, before it was about having folks in the office, that sort of thing. I'm still a little old fashioned when it comes to that thinking. I like having my people around me. But I do think that as we look for people today, it's not we're competing with Central Arkansas or Northwest Arkansas. We're competing with the world for
Absolutely.
People.
Absolutely.
And along with that has come the opportunity to be able to gain money from almost anywhere in the world. And funding is a key element and a key ingredient to being able to start companies. The other thing, too, is we just have a lot of really good, smart people here who are very helpful and very knowledgeable. And we look at financial technology, for example. You look at Axiom, you look at Arkansas Systems, you look at FIS, et cetera. We have generations of people who have built great businesses around that who are supportive to us, who help mentor our companies who come through, et cetera. So I absolutely agree with that. And, you know, you add to that quality of life, mm-hmm. the fact that square footage costs here are different than they are in New York and San Francisco. I don't know if you've been to San Francisco lately, but by God, I'm not eager to go back.
I lived 4 years in Washington, D.C., as you know, so I know about those kind of prices.
Sure. So the point is that you know, you need fewer resources, you know, economically to get a business going. I had a guy, Andrew, who's in one of our programs. He says, you know, what I love about Arkansas is sort of anti-dilutional. I said, well, what do you mean by that? He said, well, I don't need as much money mm-hmm. or the money that I get, I can extend further. My runway is longer because the cost to do business here is less and the access is better.
Right.
So those sorts of elements, and then of course, add the great outdoors. Again, quality of life here. You know, gosh, you lived in Washington for 4 years. You know what traffic is. I still mm-hmm. laugh at y'all. I think you have traffic here.
Exactly.
It's better known as congestion in my world.
Yeah.
So those things matter. And I think, you know, quality of life is and mission, I think, matter an awful lot to people who are joining this workforce today.
And you mentioned quality of life and you mentioned access. You talked about meeting virtually everybody when you got here. I've always liked that term that Arkansas is a two phone call state. I can't use the example of the governor because I actually do have his cell number.
Me too, actually.
But let's say that CEO of Walmart, I don't have his cell phone number, but I can call somebody who can get to him. And that's what I mean by a two phone call state in Arkansas.
Absolutely. You know, as one of the folks I work with, Collins Andrews, who's our executive in residence from FIS, Collins says, if you don't know somebody in this state, chances are the person next to you does. Mm-hmm. And that's absolutely true. But you know, there's a difference too. You know, I go back to my days in DC as well. You know, you ask somebody for help, it was sort of have your girl call my girl, we'll do lunch. Here it's come into the office, let's make the call now. Mm-hmm. People want to do it now and see advance. You know, where else you know, we're going to bring these 11 companies in for this ICBA program in the first week, and the mayor will stand up. And the last thing he always does in front of this group, this crowd of usually 300 that we have for these kickoffs, is he says, look, I want each of you to have my cell phone number, to your point about the governor as well. And he hands out his cell phone number to every single one of those people who are coming to this town for the first time. And I know some of them pick up the phone and called him. Mm-hmm. But you just don't get that anywhere else, right?
Right. Right. Let's go back. We talked about the financial technology, or fintech, as we call it now for short, and Little Rock kind of being one of the birthplaces with systematics of that. But not only the financial technology, but I look at the growth, too, of this as a regional kind of banking sector now, with the tremendous growth of Simmons Bank, Bank OZK, Home Bank Shares, which operates as Centennial over in Conway. Way now.
Encore.
Sure. Yeah. But, you know, Home and Simmons just recently announcing huge acquisitions in Texas, but these are Arkansas headquartered companies. Simmons buys the old Axiom building in the River Market, thinking it's going to serve them for years, already filled it up. So they go out on Chenal and buy the old OZK headquarters. OZK, meanwhile, has built this fantastic new headquarters, like something you would see, I tell people, in the North Dallas suburb. Out in West Little Rock. They're eventually, if their growth continues, going to have a whole corporate campus out there. But you take those together, and I'm not saying we're going to be Charlotte necessarily, but Little Rock is really, and I don't think a lot of people who even live here realize this, what kind of financial center that we're suddenly becoming.
Yeah, you know, there's a number of points there. You know, one, there is, you know, dealing with the ICBA, if you kind of go back in time, represented clearly nearly 10,000 banks. Today, today, that's about half of that. So there is a lot of acquisition and mergers going on. Obviously, we're seeing that with Centennial. We're seeing that with Simmons, et cetera. How Encore is growing, et cetera. So there is consolidation occurring there. It does create some concern for community banks for the long haul, but that's part of our mission, is to help them remain relevant and competitive in that environment. And community banks will always be necessary. You look at the role they played in PPP. I like to suggest they were the ventilators for small business, if you will, during
this
process.
I love that term.
Yeah. But no, you know, I think we've been able to be impactful to get the world to recognize that the work that we're doing here with FIS and the ICBA is having a global impact. Arkansas, Little Rock, will never be the center of the financial world like in New York or in Atlanta or Chicago, those sort of places. But by God, we've been able to get recognized. And we've been able to do that because of the work that we do, the support that we get, and all those sorts of things. But I do think that as the world has changed and technology has become more prevalent, that the opportunities for us to continue to grow that here, both from the standpoint of data and analytics, cybersecurity, these are all adjacencies to that business. You know, remember, the banks they've got everything on you. This support that's going on here, the attention that we've been able to gain here, I think is making people pay attention to what's going on here in Arkansas. And I'll tell you, we don't miss an opportunity to make sure people know that this is where fintech began in 1968.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a great story, you know, and I think you and I have talked about this, and I've written some columns about a speech I sometimes give around the state, which is called A State of Disaster, and it's kind of listing the natural and the man-made disasters that really kind of defined Arkansas history for about 200 years. And then suddenly we began to turn that around, and we were the state that lost the most population of any state in America between 1940 and 1960. Arkansas lost a higher percentage of its population than any other state. We have steadily been gaining population since the 1960s, most of my lifetime. So what turned that around? And I say in this speech, on the governmental side, we've had a pretty good run of governors for over 50 years now. We also had a very strong congressional delegation, incredibly so for a small state, when we started turning it around in the 60s and 70s. But then over on the private sector side, I talk about all of these entrepreneurs, and I gave this speech to the board of the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis, and they said, well, you mentioned something in there, and you need to break that out into a separate category.
story.
And so I give two private sector parts of that. One is this whole group of entrepreneurs from Bill Dillard to Sam Walton to J.B. Hunt, on and on. We mentioned a number of them. But then the other, and they convinced me this needed to be a separate category, and that, of course, was these two old boys from Prattsville in Grant County named Witt and Jack Stevens, who would end up building what at one time was the largest investment bank, not headquartered on Wall Street, right here in Little Rock. And it was because of that, they said, that gave Arkansas something that other small states didn't have. And, you know, you take a Walmart public and you take it to the next level. You take a Tyson public and allow it to go to the next level. But Systematics was an example of that, that you had the Stevens brothers, and they could take these ideas of these great entrepreneurs and they could take it to the next level. And Arkansas has certainly been the beneficiary of that in recent decades after about 200 years of really hard times.
You bet. You know, I think my first experience with you and meeting you for the first time was when you gave that speech at a state banking convention.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember it well, and remember many of the historic facts. And look, the other thing that's so important about this is the work that you do and so many others to amplify the messages that we put out and to share our success and the success that we enjoy with our community, with these entrepreneurs, with these companies to come to visit, with the hundreds of bankers that participate, with the thousands in our community that comes to our program and so forth. Rex, the fact that you care, that the paper cares, that so many folks in our community care about what we're doing, and again, share that message, it makes its way out and people start to pay attention. So, you know, do good, do well, right?
Yeah.
And that's our hope.
Wayne, as we move forward and with your vast business background, what do you see? I mean, not just Arkansas, but other rural states in middle America, flyover country, as we say, it's often called. What do you see as the keys for those places in the U.S. economy going forward, as hopefully we come out of the pandemic, we begin moving forward, people start maybe questioning their lifestyle, looking for a different lifestyle? I mean, what steps do these states in this part of the country need to take to make sure they're not left out in the years ahead? I mean, broadband in rural areas certainly comes to mind, but that, other examples, things you think of going forward.
I mean, I think there's definitely some technology issues there, et cetera. I think it was interesting. I went to my first SEC game, I think I told you a week or so ago. I was speaking in Mississippi at a bankers conference and went to an Ole Miss and a Texas A&M game. And that was an experience. And, you know, one of the things they did is they had everybody light up their cell phones in the stadium at one point. And I looked around and I recognized at that moment in time, and it was profound for me, and it seems obvious, but every single person in that stadium had a cell phone that they could hold up. And you realize that today we walk around with the power of computing in our pocket.
With more computing power than Apollo 11. Well, people often use that example in our pocket.
And by a margin, right?
Yeah.
So the point is we're empowered today with technology that enables us to do things like never before. Those that are less privileged, that are overlooked, that are underserved, now have the power of that in their own pockets. We need to help expand that so that we can create more economies in those communities, that we can get money into the hands, microloans, those sort of things to help grow these communities and help create those jobs. You know, I think that the opportunities for all of us lie there. I think that we're becoming much more global in how we think about things. It's not so much about our state, it's about our country, it's about our world and how we look at those things. You know, you look at what's occurring in Africa, it's just remarkable in terms of how the infrastructure is being built there for payments and education, those sort of things. I think getting the folks who are younger, K through 12, and also the college educated, more exposed to help them build the courage to start and build businesses more effectively and make sure they have the resources to do that. And I think the other point in all this is that we need to have leaders in our communities that have the courage to make the investments of the time, the people, the money, and the resources to build these things almost regardless of the outcomes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we've seen here in Arkansas. I think our governor, I think our mayor, I think people in this state, the people who support us, our community, sometimes you just have to make those investments. The work that we do is high risk work. Starting businesses is high risk
work. Absolutely.
And you're not gonna hit You know, you're not going to bat 300. You know, you're not going to make the Hall of Fame. But if you don't take the swings and you don't take the pitches, you're never going to have the opportunity. So we have to be willing to make those investments. And I think that's what you see from sort of a capitalistic aspect from folks like Stevens and others who are willing to do that, who are willing to make those investments in companies. And again, they worry about the return, but we also have to think about the culture. We have to think about how we're inspiring people and making sure people have the backstops and teach them the things that they need to do to build great businesses. The other thing too is I think we have to do a little better job of opening our doors to people from outside of this country.
Absolutely.
And creating those opportunities for them to come and work here and have a chance to experience. We've got a company that came through our program who's got 400 people in India. They're going to set up a headquarters here in Arkansas. They're going to probably hire about 50 people in the next year or two, maybe more. We're very excited to see that happen. We got to manage through some visa issues with them and so forth. But, you know, we want to see those things occur. The other thing, too, is it's not just about the underserved. It's also, you make the point about the rural environment as well. And that's a critical piece as well. We got to make sure that we get those opportunities that the technology provides that allows those communities to innovate effectively as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I talk a lot and I've written a lot about last year's census, the 2020 census. And even though I talk about Arkansas continues to grow overall as a state, we saw 53 of the 75 counties in the state lose population in the last 10 years. And I think one of our great challenges going forward in this state, and Wayne, I think you've been here long enough probably to agree with this, is that we split into this state of have and have nots. I get a little tickled when I hear people talk about a Central Arkansas versus a Northwest Arkansas rivalry. And I say, no, you're on the same side. You're haves. But you take a lot of Arkansas companies. You've got offices in both places. You're one side. The battle is those 22 counties that are gaining population, the 53 that are losing population. And there's where the split happens, in my opinion, if we're not careful going forward.
Yeah, it's a challenge. You know, I just spent some time in California, and I tell you, there's a few places I've been where that is so evident. You know, I mean, you either have a 150-foot yacht or you don't.
Yeah. You know, no, not much in between.
So, you know, how do we continue to try to level that playing field? Because, you know, look, we've demonstrated in this last year and a half that you can pretty much work from anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And what will that do to help us raise our children differently? How do we educate people differently? How do we put technology into their hands that helps them grow their businesses? I'm very passionate about the ag issue. We're continuing to try to work in that direction to see how we can be helpful to the state because we know how important it is to the state. But you know, how do we help farmers do a better job and help them put technology to work and those sorts of things? So I understand exactly where you're coming from.
Yeah. And I have to believe, and we're still in a pandemic, hopefully on the back end of it, but I have to believe that there are going to be long-term changes in lifestyles for a lot of people, that this gave people time to reflect, what do I really want out of life? And when people say less traffic congestion, you talked about lower crime rates, a lower cost of doing business, a lower cost of living, recreational opportunities, whether it's hiking, mountain biking, kayaking, canoeing, hunting, fishing, hang gliding within a few miles of where I live. I mean, you take all that together, and it sounds an awful lot like Arkansas to me, if, and that's a big if, we play our cards right as far as getting broadband across the state, electing a better quality of elected officials, and I could go on from there. But I certainly think there's an opportunity in a post-pandemic America.
You know, I poke the governor all the time about changing the license plates back to the land of opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I would love that. I would love that, too. And I know there's other people who have advocated for that. And I tell you, I never heard Clinton speak, and I saw him up at UALR when he introduced the book. And it was the first time I was walking through the parking lot and I saw an old license plate in a car and I saw Land of Opportunity, never seen that before. And I actually used that in an opening speech for one of our accelerators to say, we are in the Land of Opportunity here. And I think to your point, it's up to us, all of us and our leadership to exploit that to its greatest benefit for the state.
Yeah, there's so much from a quality of life standpoint. By the way, I would like you to think that I got you here today because of your vast knowledge and great business background, but actually I picked up a publication on the 250 top leaders in America, and I was reading, you're in there, and I was reading your profile, and there was one of these little, you know, where they do all these little questions, and Wayne was asked his favorite place in the state, and when you said Jones Barbecue in Marianne, had to have you on the show at that point. That sealed the deal, man.
Well, I'll tell you what a great story. Thank you for introducing us to those folks. And I'll never forget the call I had that Sunday morning from you that said the place had burned down. And we all thought about, gosh, what can we do to be helpful? And we simply
stood up. And the Venture Center led the charge, I want you to know.
Well, thank you.
A small, family-owned, African-American-owned business in the Delta of Arkansas. And you really showed that you're not just about fintech in Little Rock, Arkansas with that effort.
I appreciate your compliments and so forth, but I'm a pretty basic guy really at my core, and I love to see things like we can do with Jones Barbecue. That was a great thing. In fact, I on my way to Mississippi, I had a guy with me from out of town, and Kevin Tweddle, who's from ICBAs. He flew in here, and we started driving down that way. And I called up. Of course, it was 1:30 in the afternoon.
Make sure Mr. Jones had any food left.
He was done, but we did manage to stop at Cypress, which you also introduced me to.
Oh, good. Yeah, Cypress Quarter, very good.
Yeah, and I love their fried bologna sandwich. But anyway, great stuff.
It really is. All right, final question. Where do you see the Venture Center being? Where do you want it to be, let's say 2 years, 5 years, and 10 years from now?
Great question. You know, we kind of operate like a startup, so sometimes our path is not always as clearly defined as we'd like it to be. But, you know, we're developing relationships in other states. Our work here, and as I said earlier, you know, do good and do well. We're being asked to consider, you know, maybe standing up some venture centers in other places. Interestingly enough, particularly Delaware, potentially also in Florida and so forth. So
the state where I met my wife, Delaware, I think I've told you that. You're not going to find many people in Arkansas that will tell you that.
That's right. Yeah. I've managed to live in Rhode Island and Delaware, the two smallest states in the country. But I'm hopeful that we can continue to take our methods, our team, our approach, and hopefully our success to other parts of the world where we can have an impact that's equal to or greater than what we've been able to do here. I hope to continue to grow this team. And again, I hope that we can continue to evolve this platform of entrepreneurship and its relevance and get more people interested and grow the population of entrepreneurs in the state of Arkansas and build some great businesses. And building great businesses makes jobs, builds communities, and brings it all back around.
Wayne, thanks so much. I've really enjoyed the visit.
Rex, thank you. I love being with you, and I look forward to finding new barbecue.
Absolutely.
Joints.
We will do that. We will definitely do that. Wayne Miller, Executive Director of the Venture Center in Little Rock. I'm Rex Nelson of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Southern Fried Podcast.